is a presentation from Bethel Baptist Church and Pastor Al Feary.
Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay.
Thank you.
casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Some say that you knew Jesus of Nazareth, that you met him.
Yes, that is true. I did meet him. More appropriately, he met me.
Really? What's he like?
Regardless of what others may say about him, I know this. I know that he cares. Because he cared for me. I was completely unable to walk. I had been that way for 38 years. I had heard of the healing powers of the pool called Bethesda in Jerusalem, and so I was taken there. And there I waited. I waited in that miserable place surrounded by a great multitude of blind, lame, withered. I was waiting for a miracle. I was at the very edge of giving up hope.
Peter, why are we here? It's not safe. We could catch some kind of disease.
He insisted on us coming. Perhaps we'll get to see the troubling of the waters.
The what?
The troubling of the waters. They say that an angel comes down and stirs the waters. And whoever steps in first is healed from whatever disease he has.
Who are you talking to now?
Why do you lay here? Won't you be made whole?
Sir, I have laid here for many years, longing to be made whole. But I have no man to help me in the water when it's stirred. Before I can enter, another goes in before me.
Rise.
Take up your bed and walk.
I know that he cares. He cared for me. He met my needs when I thought there was no hope.
Time warp past.
Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church on this Resurrection Sunday. We're so glad that you chose to be with us. We hope that you've been blessed already by the music and the message through the video. We want to take some time to share with you the Word of God this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Many years ago, a fellow by the name of Franklin Ellsworth Graff was a popular preacher around the Philadelphia area at the turn of the last century. He was known as the Sunshine Minister because of his cheerful disposition. Because of the grace of God in his life, what a lot of people didn't understand was the tragedy that had taken place in his life throughout the years. He had four sisters. The youngest died as a little child, and they buried her. And then when he was about 20 years old, he lost two sisters and both of his parents in a span of about 6 months. Finally, when his oldest sister turned 34, she died as well in 1901. He turned to the Scriptures to find comfort, and he was reading in 1 Peter chapter 5, and he read that Scripture I just quoted to you, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And God gave him a song, and he wrote a famous hymn, and the four verses ask the question, "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply from mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to Him does He see?" And as he read that Scripture, the answer came to him in the chorus. And the answer is this: "Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." You might be going through some struggles in your life and you wonder, does Jesus really care? Jesus expresses His care to us on Resurrection Sunday. The Bible says the prophet Isaiah wrote many years before Christ died, he wrote this: "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." The prophet Isaiah also wrote this about Jesus: "As many were astonished at Thee, His visage was so marred more than any man, and His form more than the sons of men." Christ was wounded so badly He was unrecognizable. That's what your sin looked like as it was placed upon Jesus Christ. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, He cares. He died for you. It is our prayer this morning that as the choir sings and the videos are played, that God would impress upon your heart, first of all, that Jesus does care very much for you. Secondly, that Jesus loves you. And thirdly, that Jesus came to save you today. Listen as the choir sings.
Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Laban, I've met Him, the teacher, the one we've been waiting for. Come, meet Him, see Him, talk to Him.
You're crazy, Fotina. The sun is getting to you.
Laban, listen to me. Come meet a man who told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ? The Messiah? I met Him just a few minutes ago when I went to draw water from Jacob's well.
Please, give me something to drink.
sir, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?
If you knew of the gift of God, and who exactly it is that asked you a drink of water, you instead would have asked me, and I would give you living water.
Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. How exactly would you give me this living water?
If a man were to drink of this water, then he will surely thirst again. But if he drinks of the water that I give, he will never thirst, but will spring up into him life eternal.
Sir, give me this water, that I may drink and no longer thirst, so I no longer have to come here daily to draw from this well.
Well, first, go. Call your husband and tell him to come.
I have no husband.
It's true. For you have had 5 husbands, and the man that you're currently living with is not your husband.
Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Well, if you are a prophet, then tell me. The Jews say that we are to worship God in Jerusalem, and our fathers tell us that we are to worship him here, in this mountain.
Look, I didn't come to argue points of religious tradition. True worshipers will worship the Father from one location, their heart, in spirit and in truth.
I know that when our long-awaited Messiah comes, he will teach us all these things.
I that speak to you am he.
I believe. He is different, Laban. He is more than a teacher. No matter what your story is, he loves. And in his love, there's forgiveness and mercy and hope.
He truly loves me.
He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And with his stripes, we are healed.
Crown of thorns. could the songs of seraphim convey my praise and love for him? He wore my crown of thorns and died. Upon my cross they pierced his side, and it was me that should have borne the cross and nails, his crown of thorns.
The cross, the nails, his crown of thorns.
The grace of Christ is like a rose whose beauty shines and daily grows. But just beside the grace we see are thorns of May. He bore for me. He wore my crown of thorns and died. Upon my cross they pierced his side, and it was me that should have borne the cross and nails, his crown of thorns.
The cross and nails, his crown of thorns.
Oh.
John chapter 15 and verse 13 says this, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." In the 1930s, a businessman by the name of Frederick Lehman lost everything. Ended up packing fruit in Pasadena, California, oranges and lemons into crates. One Sunday night, he went home from church just overwhelmed with the message of God's love, and he couldn't sleep. All night, he tossed and turned, and on Monday morning, he went to work and began to write verses of a song, a hymn, on the crates of those oranges and lemons. At night, when he got home, he sat down at his piano and began to compose the melody and wrote two verses to the great hymn, "The Love of God." But he couldn't think of a third verse. He began to pray and ask God to give him a third verse, knowing full well that hymns weren't accepted into hymn books unless they had at least three verses. And he remembered a poem that a friend had given him. It had been written in Hebrew 1,000 years earlier by a Jewish rabbi who didn't know the Messiah, yet he was trying to put the love of God into words. 800 years after that, 200 years before the hymn was written, it was found inscribed in English on the prison wall of a Jewish prisoner who drew strength from these words, and the metrics of the song fit perfectly into his hymn. And it became the third verse of that great hymn. It said this, "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends, and then Christ died for you." The entire Bible is just full of instances of God expressing His love to His people. In the Garden of Eden, a place was created perfect for Adam and Eve, and then they sinned. And God sent mercy and deliverance over and over again. Throughout the Bible, we see prophets and judges warning God's people of coming judgment and an impending doom. And God delivered them over and over again. And finally, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us so much, He gave us His very best, His Son, Jesus Christ, who would die on a cross and pay the price for our sins. I don't believe there can be any question that God loves us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For He hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." 1 Peter, the Bible says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." What those verses are saying is this, Jesus took your place. You deserve the penalty, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. But that gift was only made available because He gave His life for mine. One amazing, amazing trade that God would give His Son Jesus Christ His life for mine. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says this, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us."
How could it ever be?
Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen.
Peter, I've heard you preach now many times with great power. Part of me wants to believe, to follow Jesus, but things hold me back.
What things, Micah?
Things in my past. Disappointments, frustrations. You wouldn't understand.
Well, I understand. There was a time after Jesus was arrested outside of Pilate's court, but I denied him.
I think that's right. I think we know you. You're one of Jesus' disciples.
No, you must be mistaken.
No, you're right. You're one of the followers of Jesus.
I do not know the man.
Know him? Why, you're one of his followers.
I do not know this man of whom you speak.
Then they took him. And they crucified him. And when he died, all of my hopes and dreams died with him. I had been with him for nearly every day for 3 years. I had thought I would rule and reign with him as a king. And I was left with nothing.
So what did you do?
I went back to my old life. I went back to fishing.
But his followers, and even you, say he's not dead, that he was raised again.
That's right, Micah. 3 days later, we heard the news. I saw the empty tomb. Still so ashamed. I knew he could never use me again. So I just went back to fishing. And then, one day he came to us.
Peter, do you love me?
Yes, I do.
Peter, do you love me?
Yes, Lord. I love you.
Simon Peter, son of Jonas, do you love me?
Lord, you know all things. You know I love you.
Peter, I'm not through with you. You still have much value in my kingdom and for my cause.
It was then I realized that he lives. And because he lives, he offers us new life. Because he lives, we no longer have to carry the burden of our past. Because he lives, he offers us a new start. A new purpose and a new life.
Jesus, Savior.
My favorite verse of that song we just finished. We are well aware we were orphans once, bent and broken in our shame. Then he sought us out and adopted us. Now we bear his royal name. Every sin or crime we have ever done is no match for Jesus' blood. Nothing ever can, nothing ever will overcome the Lord our God. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." The word quicken means to make alive. You know, some people you run into, you say, "Well, you don't know what I've done, preacher. You don't know how much sin I have in my life." The Bible says, "You hath he quickened who were dead." They were counted as dead already because of their sin. But God brought them back and saved them through His precious blood. The Bible goes on to say, wherein in time past He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. We all had our behavior. We were all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. And the wages of sin, because we've all sinned, our wages is death. Wages is just something simply that we've earned. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 4 of the same passage says it this way, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you want to have that wonderful privilege of an eternal home in heaven, if you want to know what it's like to be seated in heavenly places, you must be in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You say, but how do I receive that eternal life? How do I take that gift? The Bible says it this way, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. There's nothing you can do. It is a gift. The Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not about what you can do to go to heaven. It's by the grace of God, a gift that we do not deserve. And we receive that gift. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Simply by putting your trust in Jesus Christ. While Jesus was in the upper room having the Last Supper with the disciples, He began to speak to him and He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas, of course, was known as Doubting Thomas. And he said, how can we know the way? And Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But don't miss this last part. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. Let me ask you this morning. If there was any other way to go to heaven, why would Christ have to die? Why would His blood have to be shed for the payment of our sins? If there was going to church was good enough, or being a good person was good enough, or giving lots of money to charities was good enough, but none of that. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. God doesn't want us boasting. He wants us trusting. Trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We learn today that Jesus cares about us. We learn today that Jesus loves us. But I want you to know today that Jesus also wants to save you. In Romans chapter 10, we read that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I honestly believe so many people miss salvation today, not because it's too hard, because they think it's too simple. They think there must be more. I must have to do something to inherit eternal life. All you must do is be born again. Trust in Jesus Christ. Let Him change your life. That's why He died on the cross. The choir is going to sing one more song this morning. The ensemble is going to step forward and sing about the resurrection. And because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, we can have the hope of eternal life. While they sing, it is my prayer that God will continue to speak to your heart. And in just a moment, at the conclusion of our service, we'll allow you to make the time to make a decision on what you've heard and seen today. May God speak to your heart as they sing.
There's no peace. Before my God.
and close our eyes this morning just for a moment. Every head bowed and every eyes closed. Nobody's looking around.